You're just back from Germany.
Right.
And if I say back in habit, I mean you actually, you were living there for a number of years.
Yeah. A long time. I prefer to keep it mysterious.
Now, we were talking before this interview, and you mentioned that you actually became a musician while you were in Germany.
Yeah. I mean, I did have some musical background as a girl, but I wasn't in a rock band or anything. I played flute in the band. I was in the choir and the musicals and that kind of thing. But I wasn't planning to, you know, make music my career in any way. And I became a journalist after college. And did that for many years, and I'm still a journalist. Freelance journalist.
Okay.
Writer.
What areas?
Well, now I do more business writing for companies, because, but I focus on business journalism. Just write about startup companies and things.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Where in Jersey? I'm curious.
Right now I'm in Princeton. Yeah.
Lovely town.
Where I grew up, well, I grew up next to Princeton in Montgomery. And my parents live in Princeton, and I just moved back from Europe, and I'm hanging out with them for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm planning to move closer to the city.
Which one, New York?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Okay.
You know you're from there when you call it that, right?
Exactly.
Right. Sorry, I know we're in Philadelphia today, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to move to Jersey City, probably.
You've got some interesting folks on the CD. You've got some guys from Austin you recorded with, and actually you did record the CD in Texas.
Yeah, both of my albums, actually. I also, my first effort was an EP that I did in Germany with a singer-songwriter there named Marcus Rill. He helped me like get my first songs together.
Waiting to Fly, right?
Yeah.
You actually gave me that.
Right.
That
was where I think we first had contact. I sent you Waiting to Fly, and I think I got your name through the Indie Girls mailing list. And actually, the Indie Girls mailing list got me started because I joined Indie Girls in 2005, I guess. I had only been writing since 2003. That's when I started writing songs.
Okay.
And I had these songs. I'd only been playing guitar a few years. And I was like, I don't know what to do with these songs. And I posted on this Indie Girl list, like, help, I'm sitting in a village outside of Munich. What can I do with this? And somebody named Rachel Harrington wrote to me. Rachel's based out of Seattle.
Right.
And she said, you have got to get in touch with Marcus Rill. Marcus Rill was a German singer-songwriter who liked Americana-type music very much. Sort of, he liked Steve Earle, and, you know, he writes songs very much in that kind of a style. And she said, he'll help you. And that's what happened. I ended up meeting Marcus, and then we went and recorded Waiting to Fly. But when I came out with that, I was very, very inexperienced. I had never even performed the songs live. And I realized, oh, what it is to go into the studio, you know, it's like... And I realized you have to really be comfortable with who you're recording with. And, yeah. So,
You composed all the music, too, right, along with the words?
Yeah, so everything was, you know, my stuff. And actually, when I went to Marcus, I just, you know, said, look, I have these songs, what, you know, what can I do with them, and do you think they're any good, and I just didn't even really know. And he said, yeah, you know, I think we can do something with that, you know. And he got some guys, he knew a studio guy in Würzburg, Germany, and we did a kind of thing where the band was live, and then I overdubbed my voice later. That's the way he likes to work. But when it came time to where I had enough songs for an album, that was like, I guess, 2007, I had this idea, well, Marcus had recorded a few of his albums in the States. And I started thinking, well, why can't I do that? So I somehow got in touch with somebody in Austin, actually a songwriter named Doug Greer, who's not very well known here in the States, but had a real successful run in Holland for a while.
Oh.
And he's from Austin, and he said, oh, you have to work with Bradley Kopp. And Bradley Kopp lives in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made both my full-length albums with Bradley. And he was, you know, when I first started working with him, he was like, well, maybe Lloyd can come in and record a few little, you know, tracks. And I was like, Lloyd Maines? Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big Dixie Chicks fan.
Sure.
And so I knew that I was dealing with top drawer musicians from that point on. And Bradley's an amazing guitar player himself.
Yeah, Paul Piercy, Glenn Fukunaga. Yeah. And I've seen him on other albums, like Abby Tapia, Smoke from Austin.
Yeah, they're all amazing musicians. And I kind of thought, when I go to the States, I'll just fly to Austin and do this. It just seemed like a good idea. I knew that they would kind of get the sound I was looking for. So that was why I made that decision. I didn't really know anybody in New York or musically.
Sure. What was the hardest song to write in this new album, Light Inside?
When you say hard to write, you mean you labored over it a long time, or hard
labored,
to
or was it the hardest to write? The last song to come to you that filled put everything in place.
Yeah. Last song. I remember I was thinking I need a few more good songs. And then I wrote Don't Look Back and Starcross. But those were really easy to write. I can't really answer your question.
That's actually a fine answer. I read all the songs in order with this CD, and there seems to be a little bit of a pattern. I know they're all sort of related to each other. Between death and rebirth and the overall sense of darkness and the questioning at the same time one's existence. It seems anyway to me.
Yeah. I mean, the first album I did, I think, were more story songs, although there are a couple story songs on here, on the latter album.
Sure.
But and the second album was more closely personal, I think. So it reflected a very big upheaval that I went through myself. I found that performing in Germany, people were quite, the audiences are fairly respectful there. That's nice. But on the other hand, it was difficult because singer-songwriters aren't very well understood in Germany. They don't have open mic at every corner cafe where thousands of songwriters are trying to make their way.
Really?
Not so much. I think more bands. They're more band-oriented. So I did a lot of my touring in the UK and Holland because I felt that was more the market for my audience. At first I thought, I'm sitting here in Germany, what am I supposed to do? I mean, where am I going to sing? And then I noticed a lot of American songwriters were in Holland and the UK, and I thought, I'll go there, I'm not that far from there. So I sort of started, that was the beginning years of MySpace, and I just sort of got to know people and organized tours.
Well, what were your favorite places to play in Europe? What cities?
Well, it's more venue-based. There's a really nice place in Hong called Cultural Podium Ropan, which is in the middle of nowhere, really. It's in a place called Ottersum, which is on the border of Germany. And they get great acts there, and there's a beautiful audience there. The kind of venue you dream of, all these people just sitting quietly, listening to your acoustic music and not talking. And, good sound system, really nice. I'm trying to think. In the UK, I was happy to be the opener to Rod Picott. I always think I say his name wrong. Rod Picott and Amanda Shires. You know that?
I honestly don't.
You don't know that? Oh, you have to. Amanda Shires is great. She's doing a big solo career now. Maverick Magazine is kind of a country magazine there, and they sponsored a series of acoustic evenings, and I opened for them, and that was a nice gig too. Also, a lot of nice, quiet people listening, and good sound system. That's really all I need.
Well, when I hear your music, and I know other people have said this too, I often hear people like Kathleen Edwards. I know she's one of your favorites, and Thea Gilmore, who I saw some years back. And
I like her.
And contemporary here in the States, I think of Sharon Golden. I know you know Sharon.
Oh yeah, I just met Sharon for the first time last week.
No kidding.
Yeah, we played at this thing together called Folk in the 80s.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
I'm tempted to ask what you played. I'm guessing something kind of dark and
well,
such,
you know
right?
What? It actually was kind of a no-brainer for me because it was actually the 80s isn't really my big decade, but I love 60s music. But I have a song in my repertoire. I've been playing Bruce Springsteen's I'm on Fire in a really cool acoustic arrangement that I sort of stole from another songwriter whose name is A.A. Bondi. So I played that. I'm on Fire.
I miss Kenny's. That's such a great venue.
It was nice.
In New York. And Sharon was playing there, and I think,
Mark, Peruvi, I think his name
is. Yeah.
Peruvi, yeah.
Mr. Caraman sold that off.
Right, Mr. Caraman. And then, oh, the funniest thing was Carol Ann was there, but she didn't, well, she did come up for one song and sing, but it was like, why isn't Carol Ann singing? Ah, the 80s wasn't really her decade. She was into show tunes.
Oh, boy.
She didn't like 80s music too much.
I never
and Fred Gillen Jr., do you know him?
Yeah,
he's amazing. He got up and did some. I can't remember. See, the 80s, I don't really know the names of any of the songs. But I recognize them when I heard them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, was he the one who did, somebody did Human League, you know, don't
I'm
you want
to oh,
say?
Yeah.
That was really cool. I guess that was Mark and Sharon did that together. And then, oh yeah, there was some amazing performances there. Yeah, but Sharon, we are going to share a gig at Espresso Joe's at the end
March
of March.
March 31st.
Yeah.
In Keysport.
Yeah, where I've never been yet either.
That's a nice little fishing village. It's right where the shore begins at the north end.
Right.
Nice and quiet.
I'd say it's a really good venue. It's having a big anniversary or something.
Yeah, like 8 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned Sharon because I think of you, to a degree, musically and the general overall, I want to say the vibe, but it's not exactly the vibe, it's just something, some elements that you absolutely share with her in terms of the music.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly walk a more dark rich, and she's more of a lighter type in a way.
Yeah. Maybe it's the nasal thing, you know? No, Sharon's going to kill me, right?
I don't quite hear the nasal thing in your sound, though.
You don't? Oh, God, wow.
Maybe I hear it now because you're speaking,
I've been told I have twang or nasality or...
I'll have to hear the songs again. But in the CD, I love the fourth track, and I'm forgetting which one that is right now. But it has a great groove to it. It doesn't have a...
Don't Look Back, maybe?
It might be. It doesn't have a hard end. It just sort of fades out. That's a long fade out.
Yeah. That's Don't Look Back. And when I was practicing that with Mark Marshall, who I'm playing with in New York,
we decided that
the riff in the beginning, which Bradley played, was like the Blue Oyster Cult. It was like Don't Fear the Reaper.
Uh-huh.
There's something like Don't Fear the Reaper in that song.
I know, the chords sound so...
Do-do-do-do, you know, it's like...
They sound so familiar, and I wondered if there was something like that.
Well, Bradley picked up on that and came up with that riff, and then it sounds like Don't Fear the Reaper to me, but before that, I didn't really hear it.
Huh.
If I have a chance, I might play that one tonight, but I don't know how long I get to play.
Well, what do you have planned for tonight? I see you have the full band.
Oh, and I don't get the full band. I'm just the opener, so I'm going to be alone.
Solo?
Completely solo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I often play solo.
Okay.
Like I said, in New York, I've been playing with Mark Marshall a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Really only twice, actually. And I don't have a band yet, or, you know, it's an expense thing.
Of course.
But I like playing in a duet, if I can. But tonight, I figure when you're the opener, it's best to just be, you know, wear beige and shut up every time, you know. Just do your get off.
They are, I don't know.
And let the band come on. Now I'm just going to be all alone. Yeah, I'm going to do, I guess, as ever long day. I got 6 songs written down, but I don't know how many they're going to let me play.